I'm gonna give you a Hostess cupcake,
Right.
not both of them out of the pack, just one. And I'm gonna give you a high C drink, and that's gonna be your pay. We're gonna
Right.
split
Some
it.
sort of rider or compensation package that you should get for this whole to do, I think, Jayhawk, as the Hall of Famer. So
at least you're throwing in the high key pack. Last time you tried to get out of even doing that.
Well, and our captain of our ship, Charlie Butters, learned that the card is always going to change at this point. So
yeah, man, enjoy. I wasn't enjoying myself at Enjoy.
Just seeing it all crumble apart.
It was you received very, very many panic texts,
right?
During the main event of the Enjoy show, with fuck, everyone's injured. The show, the match is falling apart. What are we gonna do? And I was really scared for Shelby. It was a whole thing.
I can't believe he just has terrible luck, Shelby. It's not right. The guy's such a good talent, and he kind of sets himself back each time with the injuries. It's so unfair. It's just unfair. Business is unfair. And I saw a picture of our other contestant, combatant Ziggy, with a black eye.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
She was so rocked after the tag match, she couldn't even stand. Like, she like tried to stand a couple times and fell over.
Did they lose?
Gummy Boar did not show. So
I'm assuming that has to do with something else.
Yeah,
but
I'm assuming it has to do with everything that happened on Twitter. Yeah. So
everybody just mind their own fucking business. Just mind your business. Well, mind your business. Just let's the problem
making fans mind their own business, and people saying shit publicly that they probably shouldn't be saying publicly.
That's what I'm saying. Can everybody just not go into, like, just mind your business? Everybody just keep it within.
We don't even know which side of it was why they weren't there. It could have been Enjoy saying no. It could have been them saying no. Who knows?
I know. I'm just more
like, it could have been completely unrelated for all we know. We don't know.
They did give us a pretty decent tag team replacement. So
good. All right. I'm just saying, in general, relationships, things like that. I wasn't raised that way. I just keep it all private, and you know, maybe it would do everyone some good if we all just kept our shit private in our relationships, and that's that. But anyway, that's
you don't get clout that way, buddy.
Yep.
You were also raised in an era where you could say slurs and not worry about losing your job. Too. Yep.
That was not my concern, Jayhawk. I never fucking said that. How do we go from not talking about your relationship to Josh can't say slurs?
You're not raised that way. Well, you weren't raised this way either.
Well, here's the thing. Jared is from the same era as you, so he's the one that's really concerned about not being able to say the slurs. Like, you should hear the stuff that he says. Like,
outrageous.
And you can't even be mad at him, because his speech impediment is so adorable. When he says slurs, it's the silliest thing in the world. And I can't even be mad at him when he says it. It makes me giggle. So I'm going to take this back to indie wrestling.
Yes.
I'd enjoy. Lee Moriarty and Mikey Montgomery had probably the match, the match of the night. Definitely in the running for one of the matches of the year for me. Holy shit, was it good.
Cannot wait for that show to
when
drop.
Lee does these shows like this, does he do meet and greets and stuff? Or
he
no?
Did, yeah. Yeah, oh, he did. He was there at intermission. He was there after the show hanging out, and I went over because Summers was bothering him. I'm like, dude got signed to get away from you, Summers. I was like, leave this man alone. And then he had to bother Veda for a photo.
Never happens.
She was trying to scoot real quick and leave, and he fucking caught her before she left. I was like, oh man. I was like, you should have just kept going. You should have ignored him and kept going. But
was Speedball on that show?
No.
She
was doing commentary, and I was like all excited because Jem was there, and I was like, oh, maybe Veda's not there. And then Veda showed up, and I was like, damn it.
Is the Odyssey very long? Is it over an hour?
No, they did like 1 minute intervals, and it was only 25 people, so it went pretty quick.
Oh. Was it bigger last year, or is it the same?
I think the last one was 30, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This one was just 25, so.
Should have been 26, right? You should have been in there, but, you know.
I was in there as I was under a mask.
Oh, good. Okay. As long as you did it, you know.
Yeah. I did it.
He was El Pollo Loco con Queso.
No, there was a... You'll see. You'll see.
Yeah.
I
All
don't
right.
want to give it away. You'll see. I was definitely in there though.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because, we had you prepped, you trained, you ate your vitamins and said your prayers, you did the whole thing.
I'm
So,
still waiting for the training video to come out to the South Park montage song.
oh man, there was so much we could have done with that. Ah, damn it.
Know. I know.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad you did your thing. We are careening towards that big indie wrestling WrestleMania weekend. And yeah, I mean we I've been pumped all week because we have the biggest guest ever tonight. And yeah, I'm trying to contain my excitement as I thumb through what's on IWTV this week so
Well,
I
we
can
still
cover
got
for
so much
Marcy.
other stuff to cover.
Yeah.
But while you're doing that, it's IW God.
I am Percocet Pete.
I was not expecting that. Okay.
Am a
Yep.
double soul shaman, Butters.
I'm Cloud Strife.
Cloud
You couldn't
Strife.
carry that giant sword around.
No, I could not carry that giant sword around. The thing's fucking huge. Well, I'm already carrying a giant sword around, but not the
I
one
knew
that
it. See,
Cloud
you
carrying
should
around.
try to cover it. You tried.
Oh. Oh
You tried. Oh.
yeah, I'm already carrying one sword around it. That two would
no.
be
Oh
too much.
Jesus. Oh Jesus.
Gonna keep pushing it. Let's go.
All right, shout outs. Zach, Chris, Andrew, Brock, and of course our special shout out to Patty. And I got some news about Patty that I want to share here tonight
Okay.
because it's very important. She is receiving the EMS Star of Life award for Educator of the Year. So congratulations, Patty. You are the
Wow.
Educator of the Year. That's huge.
Huge.
Very big deal. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Patty. Wow. Good for
That is
you.
awesome, Patty. Congratulations.
That is cool.
You ready, Josh? You ready to do what's on IWTV?
Yeah, I guess. Let's go.
What's on this weekend?
Over on Triller TV, powered by Fight. Pretty slow as far as wrestling goes. All kinds of other stuff on. Showing fucking pickleball this weekend of all goddamn things. But
Oh, weird.
on the wrestling side of things, Saturday night, March 16th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Wrestling Revolver presents Ready or Not, the Revolver Remix Title Scramble Match. Gringo Loco, Kevin Knight, Jake Crist, Myron Reed, and two wrestlers to still be determined. Plus, we've got the Emmy Award versus the Slammy Award. Matt Cardona with Steph DeLander taking on Cobra Kai star Paul Walter Hauser. Yet that actual match that has one wrestler in it.
Yeah,
Is
Paul
that
Walter
it?
Hauser's a really good wrestler, so I don't know.
Is he?
I don't know about this Matt Cardona guy. I never heard of him.
Huh. I don't even
And
know who that is.
Paul Walter Hauser is Stingray on Cobra Kai.
Okay, I should start watching that then.
He's been in some other stuff too, but that's where I know him from. So, and Saturday, Sunday, I'm sorry, March 17th at 2 p.m. Eastern, our friends across the pond with ICW are presenting the Great Glegga Bash. I don't have a lineup for that one, but they tend to put their best foot forward. So that's what's on Triller TV, powered by Fight this week.
Yeah, it's a quiet week on indie wrestling television. On the 14th, which is Thursday, Wrestling Open, of course, and that is the Eliminator Cup, Brick City versus Shook Crew. And then the only other show of note in those 4 days is ICW No Holds Barred Volume 60. That's on March 16th. That's Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Cruel versus Ace Romero, American Deathmatch Championship, Killdozer Matt Tremont versus Otis Kogar. Marcus Mathers versus MM3, Little Mean Kathleen versus Danny DeManto, Alec Price, Jimmy Lloyd, Chris Bradley, Kristen Ross, and Tommy Vendetta Open Challenge. It is a quiet week on the indie circuit, but that's what I got. Not a very ambitious week, so to speak. I think this weekend with all that GCW, kind of they've run out of stuff for the week, so.
I think it's the preparation for the big weekend coming up for the weekend in April. So,
I thought it was cool that Sawyer Rex shot Dom in the back with Nerf guns with needles attached to them. That was
why
fun.
weren't you at that show?
Because I can't go to AC. It's not the easiest trip for me to leave. That takes a lot of planning to stay overnight and stuff. But I will say I did get my hotel and rental car for April 20th for the Akron show, for the 420 show. So we are on the way.
Doing interviewing.
marks on the internet that ask the questions that they think are cool to ask.
Today's guest is an ECW legend, a former tag team partner of Batista, a former tag team partner of Tommy Dreamer. He once battled Big Daddy V, and he's extremely cute to boot. It's Colin Delaney.
Yeah.
Hey,
Colin.
Hey,
what's up, guys?
We're cooking. Yeah. Good to have you on tonight. We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I feel like all of those things that you said that I'm known for, I did within like a 6-month period. And I've been wrestling for 20 years.
Yeah. That was what I was getting.
So I'm not forgetting we're managed by Tully Blanchard for a night too.
So I had to pick certain things. Because I was looking through the cage match when I came up with this, and I was like, I got to pick something very specific, very fun. And I didn't want to copy like some of the stuff that I know Pod Van Dam had did when you did them. So I was like, I got to come up with something a little bit different. So,
when my 20-year wrestling anniversary hit, which had just hit back in November, I was kind of looking back at different like things that I've done that are kind of cool. And one of them that I landed on, and you mentioned it just a second ago, I've been managed to the ring by Tully Blanchard, Bobby Eaton, and Roddy Piper. That's a cool thing.
That is pretty cool.
That is wild.
Yeah. When was Bobby Eaton?
Down in Tennessee, I did a random tag match against Tony Falk and his son LT Falk. Tony Falk historically is Jeff Jarrett had his first match against Tony Falk.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And I was managed by Bobby Eaton.
Wow. That's some resume you got there. That is a lengthy career of accomplishments right there.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of where I wanted to start off with, because as I was looking through Cage Match, I started seeing some like really interesting names that you wrestled that I wanted to get your opinion on. So I'm going to start off with Cage of Death 10. You were in a four-way tag match for the CZW tag titles. One of your opponents was Beef Wellington. Do you have any you have anything to say about Beef Wellington?
I loved Beef Wellington. That was from the CZW era where there was a lot of like fun dudes on the roster. And Beef was one of them. And Greg Excellent is another. In that match, there's also Drew Gulak, Team Andrew, Gulak and Sumner, and then Cloudy and Cheech. Oh, I remember the whole thing. It went down in history as one of the worst matches in CZW history.
Yours did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why was it so bad?
Okay. Real quick. Are you actually just bringing this match up not knowing that it's a disaster?
I never saw the match, but I love Beef Wellington myself. So I saw the name of his team, and I was like, I remember them. I remember Beef Wellington, and I just want to talk about Beef Wellington because I don't know when I'll ever get to talk about him again unless we have him on.
Sure. Yeah, no. Beef Wellington was a treat. I was on tons of shows with Beef Wellington up in Canada, UWA Hardcore, back when I was first coming up, and then CZW. He did some, I'm pretty sure he was on some Chikara stuff I did early on, but I did a ton of stuff with Beef back then. But yeah, that match is an abject disaster. It was like the middle of a Chikara weekend. So we had Chikara Friday, we had CZW Saturday, and then we had Chikara Sunday. So everybody was kind of messy, and not specifically in this match, just like the crew that I was rolling with. And we did the Chris Candido thing where we get sunset flipped and we get our pants pulled down. But we never pulled them up. Did dives out of the ring. I took the finisher, which is the Gonzo Bomb from Beef, with my ass still completely out. Got to the back, and Sanjay Dutt was really, really off-put by the whole thing.
off-put. That's a good term right there. Yeah.
Yeah. He really did not enjoy what we did out there, and he let us know. And he had every right to let us know because it was bad. See, this is back in, I talk about this a lot. This is back in the day of message boards. So, you know, nowadays that match would have gotten us rush on Twitter,
and Facebook or whatever or wherever. But back in the day, you had to find people shitting on it on like CZW fans or the Death Valley Driver boards or any number of random message boards, which is where you had to find people talking shit. Am I allowed to swear? I've already done it. But You had to like search message boards to find people talking shit about your wrestling, which they did regularly, and it was way worse than some nameless, faceless person on Twitter crushing you.
I don't know what he expected. There was a tag team in that four way called Two Girls One Cup. Like, what? Having your ass out in the middle of the match for most of the match is I fully expect that. Seems like
pretty tame. Yeah.
I love comedy wrestling, and I feel like I'm gonna go and find this match now and watch this match, and I will
message you and tell you if
I think it was bad or not, because I don't know. That sounds pretty fucking funny to me. I don't know. It just to me
that
sounds funny.
I've seen that, Colin. I could swear like within the last 5 to 8 years somebody did the leave their pants down for a lot of the match, but I'm not sure where I've seen it, but I don't know how, if they went the entire match, but I've seen that like last a little bit more on the indies.
I'll never watch that one back. That one, and I recently, the other one that I said I would never watch back, but I kind of semi-recently watched it, was also at the arena. It was me, Ben Gerard, and Stigma against Glacier, Al Snow, and D'Lo Brown.
I was going to ask you about that too. Torino's weekend.
Oh, you were going to ask me about that one too? Do you have a list of just disaster matches I had that you want to talk about?
Well,
God.
So I had King of Trios written down, but I specifically wanted to talk about your match with Danielson in the second round.
Okay. Well, that was all right. Because
you got to wrestle Brian Danielson. I thought that was really cool. Probably, I don't know, one of the best wrestlers ever. Definitely on my Mount Rushmore.
You're skating over the fact that it's not just Danielson. It was Danielson, Claudio, and Dave Taylor was the trio.
Yes.
God damn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I figured you could elaborate. You could go into more detail. I just, in my notes, I literally had to, I was like writing stuff quickly because I can't be on my phone super long at my job. So I had to like look over stuff real quick on my 15-minute break, write some stuff down. But yeah, that was ridiculous. Like you were in a group unstable with Jerry, as we know him now.
Yep.
That's wow. That is some, I mean, that, listen, the Trios tournaments, the amount of talent that went through the Trios tournaments in all that time, it was always astonishing to me how they got in as many different, like the names that used to come in. And I was always stunned by, I'm like, are you kidding me? Those guys are going to be at like a Funplex in Easton. Like, it always like blew my mind, the quality of talent that was coming in for that.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some of the X-Pac year where he did 1-2-3 Kid is like legendary King of Trios stuff. But mm-hmm. that year with Team Uppercut was a crazy one. And the Al Snow D'Lo Glacier match, it never gets off the ground. I don't think I don't like to speak too ill of people, but Al Snow was a real pain. He was a real genuine
notorious. I've always heard he is not a great person to deal with.
But what is that like? You as in your career, what does that make? How is somebody difficult? Let's just take even the name out, so you don't have to like say anything too negative. But like, what makes somebody difficult when you get to the ring? Like, what do you, when do you say to yourself, oh fuck, this guy, like, what do they do?
how far do we peel the curtain back on this podcast?
It's up to you.
It's however you want to. I'm always curious because I don't have as much knowledge as far as back as wrestling as Butters and Jayhawk, like going back. I'm a WWF guy from like the 80s. But like the old CZW, all the indie stuff, I was an indies guy later on. But like, what makes some of these guys come in and you're like, nah, I don't know. This is like, why are you a pain in my ass? Like, what do they do?
So he walked up to the three of us. Al Snow walks up to me, Jerry, and Stigma. And just first thing he says, he points and he just goes, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Nothing. We don't know what you do. We don't know who you guys are. So you got to tell us what you do. And that was the first thing he says to us. And I was like, oh, golly. All right, well, this is going to go good. So I start kind of giving him the rundown of like, hey, here's what we're doing here. Here's what they want us to do, yada, yada, yada. And then he kind of loosens up for a little bit there and is like, oh, okay, okay. Yeah, so blah, blah, blah. And we start talking. And then I try to tell him some kind of something where I would give him a Russian leg sweep. You're all familiar with the Russian leg sweep.
Yeah.
He then stops me mid-sentence, says, you're going to give me a Russian leg sweep? He stops what he's doing, walks over, stands next to me, goes, you're going to give me a Russian leg sweep. Walks back over to D'Lo and goes, D'Lo could give me a Russian leg sweep. Walks over to Glacier and goes, he could give me a Russian leg sweep. Walks back over to me and goes, you're going to give me a Russian leg sweep. And I said, I guess not. And then I went about my day. But in theory, I wanted to just hook his inside leg with mine and pull at his chin, because it's not like it's some kind of, I didn't say I was going to press slam the dude.
Right.
I said I was going to, I would Russian leg sweep him, which is a very legitimate, I mean, not very legitimate, but legitimate enough that if I hooked his inside leg and ripped at his chin, I'm pretty sure I could take him to the ground.
Right.
Then yeah. He proceeded to go to the ring and just do whatever he wanted. Like nothing that we had talked about. He just was doing moves. And we were like, what's happening out here? He just goes into business for himself mid-match. And it's just.
What year was that?
09, I want to say. King of Trios, yeah. 09.
09.
I'm a shithead. When he would ask me, what do I do? I would have been like, I pin you in this match. That's what I do. That's what I do in this match.
That's also the truth, because he had to lose. I think that was it. You know, some guys are real shitty about losing, which is bananas. The dude had a group called the Job Squad, and he couldn't lose. Like, I don't know. He was real weird. I just felt he was whatever. And it was a very miserable experience. D'Lo was super cool. Glacier couldn't be a nicer human being, but Al was just blech.
But this was after you were already you already had your time at ECW, WWE. Like,
yes,
there was no mutual respect, like, for him to come to you and be like, that's horrible. That's not right. No. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
No, he was, I don't know. I saw him the week after that at a different show, and he introduced himself to me again. And I was like, we wrestled. and he's like, oh, when did we wrestle? I go, a week ago, week. Man. You know, not like, I'm sorry, man. 09 Al Snow wasn't running like a crazy busy schedule where he'd have forgotten the guy, one of the three guys he wrestled 1 week ago, I don't think.
Right. There's an arrogance to that. That is just, that's just also shocking.
Also in that match, D'Lo Brown's clotheslined me like out of my boots about as hard as I've ever been clotheslined. And then the crowd chants one more time. And he picks me up and throws me off the ropes. And I go, well, it can't be as bad as the first one. And it was just as bad as the first one.
Okay, so I looked it up, jumped out of curiosity. Al Snow, Lita Coyne, a cage match, had a total of 37 matches in 2009.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I saw him a week, like, not even a week. I think it was like 6 days later. And he was like, who are you? And it's like, bro,
no, come on, man. Come on. Yeah, come on. Well, that was like when I hung out with Janella at the after party. We drank at a table all night. Then I saw him the next week at Creative Pro, and he totally forgot who I was. So I said, okay, that's, we just hung out a week ago.
Well, that's different. You drank with him.
Yeah. I kind of thought as much. That's what my brother said to me. He's like, you idiot. You guys are drinking all night. How would he remember?
Yeah. That'll get flighty at a point.
Well, Butters, you good?
No, so, I got more. I got more. Yeah, I got one more.
Bring it. Let's go.
One more wrestler. Now, how funny would it be if every match I brought up was one that you really hated that was as bad?
And
it was
ready. Just pure
luck. It was pure luck. It wasn't even something I tried to do. Last one, it was a four-way match in CZW. You got to face off against Shane Strickland in that match.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I went back to CZW. So I had like three random stints with CZW in my career. One early with Jimmy, which was okay. That was when I was first breaking in. And the story about that's kind of funny, too, because me and Jimmy wrestled DJ Hyde and Drew Gulak at a random show in Mountaintop, Pennsylvania. And me and Jimmy showed up there late that day because I think we got lost. Who knows how to get to Mountaintop, Pennsylvania? Surely our GPS did not. Our 2006 GPS did not. So we showed up during match one. We were in match two against DJ Hyde and Drew Gulak. So we're just getting changed. We're like, hey, guys, we'll just see you in there. We go out to the ring, and the second we come through the curtain, the crowd is chanting, Tombstone, Tombstone, Tombstone. And we're like, well, that's weird, because at the time, it was me and Jimmy, who were both under 6 foot, probably a combined 310 pounds. But whatever. So the match goes on. We're wrestling. Again, out of nowhere, the crowd starts chanting, Tombstone, Tombstone, Tombstone. And we're like, this is real weird. Well, eventually the finish comes around, and DJ Hyde does the lariat. So he goes to do the lariat, and Jimmy's like, no, give me a tombstone. So he picks Jimmy up, gives him a tombstone pile driver, and that place erupts. 1, 2, 3, we get out of there. And after we get to the back, DJ was like, hey, I'd love to have you guys at CZW. And we were like, hey, sure.
Did you ever figure out why they were chanting Tombstone, or was it just to never, see that?
Literally never in my life. I never asked. I literally figured it was, they just wanted to see a tombstone, and they saw one, and it worked. Like, God bless them. They were persistent. They chanted two or three times during that match.
I think we might have to put that at AIW again.
Yeah, just start doing it. Someone's going to have to. So Shane Strickland. So I did the first, before WWE, I did some CZW. After WWE, I did some CZW. And then this time I came back, my first time back, me and Dalton Castle teamed. We were, like the best friends before best friends. Our team was best friends forever. And we wrestled Azrael and Bandito, and it was really fun. And then I got asked to come back and do that. I think it was a best of the best qualifier too. Me, Shane Strickland, Shane Hollister, who is an underrated treasure of a wrestler,
for sure,
who
for
a lot
sure.
of people may not know. And third or fourth guy was a masked guy.
Latin Dragon.
Yeah, and it was really fun. It was really good. Even back then, I remember Swerve was always the coolest. He was always such a cool, chill dude to deal with and talk to, and had his head on right, and knew what he wanted, and really smart about how he did things, even early on, because that would have been, gosh, I mean, early for him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you do sound real quick, because you've rattled off a lot of names, a lot of memories. Are you one of those guys who do you just have a good memory for what you've done, or do you keep notes? Like, how do you keep you really do have a, I mean, you could just recall a bunch of things. Is it just something you like to do, or do you write it down? How do you keep track?
I don't write it down. I don't, I tried at a point, but my brain doesn't, I don't know. My brain just has these things up here. Wrestling's all I ever wanted to do in my life. So, you know, there are definitely things I don't remember. I was waiting for you to ask me about a match and for me to be like, oof, I don't remember that one. Cause that happens to me all the time. You luckily just hit on some memorable ones for me. I've got a pretty good memory, for some things, wrestling things mostly, but, luck right now. Luck is on my side.
So right before you got, you started wrestling in ECW, you actually had a couple matches here in Ohio for PWO. One, you teamed with Jimmy against Johnny Gargano and Josh Prohibition. And then you also faced Johnny Gargano and beat Johnny Gargano before heading to ECW, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, that was so we had gotten booked for PWO. It was our first time out there. Both those matches were in the same day, actually. Okay. It was all like one, I think it was a TV taping.
Right.
And it was, I think it was actually, the tag match was supposed to be a mixed six-man tag, but a female wrestler didn't show up. So it just wound up being a tag. Yeah, and that's, it's so funny because I think that's literally the last matches I did before ECW, and we had plans to come back to PWO to do more stuff. And it just kind of, you know, got a little bit derailed by that. But the funny part is when I got to WWE after when I was going to wrestle Big Daddy V, who you mentioned earlier, he had mentioned to me how he saw me on PWO TV. Wow. And I thought that was so funny that, you know, Big Daddy V had already seen me wrestle because he watched the one PWO I did.
Now, you laugh about that, but I was in Cauliflower Alley and a friend of mine came up to me and went, "I saw you on TV the other day." I went, "What are you talking about?" I wasn't even booked on the show. I was in the front row at a PWO show and a guy was watching it on fucking DirecTV and call me. Like, yeah. What the hell?
That's crazy.
I would have thought Big Daddy kind of V reach. Was an indie guy back then watching all the indies.
So it was on like Sports Time Ohio, which was a channel that people would get in that region. I think he lived in like Louisville. So I think they got Sports Time Ohio or whatever the channel was in his region. So he just happened upon it. And I happened to be on TV.
Wow, if you had a Dish Network and DirecTV both had a package where for like $9 a month or whatever, you could get all the regional sports networks minus the live sports. If you're outside of that region, they wouldn't do that, but.
Yeah,
I just remember finding it on my local, living in Ohio. Obviously, it was one of the locals, but then it became a thing. Like, I remember seeing Jason Bain. I remember seeing Christian Faith being hooked. Like, I was like, oh, there's indies in this area. Like, I could go see this live. And I did go see AAW live not long after that. So
I wouldn't say Big Daddy V was an indie wrestling fan. He probably was a fan of, like, the Indians or something and wanted, you know what I'm saying? Like
he was a message board admin.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Oh, I could see it. Let me ask you about that. By the way, you mentioned the Cleveland and that and those type of shows. So look, most people like consider you more part of the AIW main roster than not. Right. So like, how do you think someone on the indies now, like best makes a connection like that? Because I mean, you're there, everybody kind of associates, you know, to infinity and beyond. If you use the term in indies as main roster, that's you guys, you're a staple, you're the main roster, you're on the talent page, so to speak. What would you say to somebody who's trying to like kind of ingrain themselves into some company and do that? How would you direct them?
Man, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
it's going to sound weird, but I don't know. Nowadays, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's so much different than when I was coming up. And I mean, Thorne will tell you, and we've told this story, I'm sure, a ton of times. My first match at AIW was because Dalton Castle and Jimmy Olsen made a random deal at a bar in Philadelphia with Thorne Biggins for us to come wrestle there that I was completely unaware of. and at this point, I'm like pretty soon after WWE. So I was still, you know, getting decent regular work and commanding a certain price. And I came, Biggins used to rib me about the fact that the first time I came to AIW, I came in for like a hot dog and a handshake because Jimmy and Dalton Castle just made this deal that we would come in and do this tag match. And at the time I lived with the two of them. So I just kind of got in. But that being said, I got in. And the first show we did was in Sandusky. And it was weird. And then we got booked to come back and we just always had a great time there. And we connected with Thorne and Biggins and we connected with people in the locker room. And so it was just kind of identified as a place we liked and a place we wanted to be. So, you know, it a bit different nowadays. I feel like nowadays, yeah, I don't know. I don't even have a good answer for you. I know.
That's pretty
I wish
good.
I did.
No, I get it. It's hard. It's a different world now. I mean, it's not as it's more territorial, but it's less.
There's more wrestling out there. There's probably less good wrestling out there, but there's more wrestling out there. There's wrestling everywhere. Yeah. You have to identify what is worth your time, you know, what is worth your time for you, but also potentially, you know, is going to get some eyes on you. But also somewhere you enjoy, because there's definitely going to be places that maybe, yeah, the good crowds, they like having you, maybe it'll get some eyes on you, but you don't enjoy it. Yeah. I don't know. Don't do it. That you're going to succeed and you're going to get better by being places where you're happier. It's going to be real hard to succeed, even if there are good eyes on you, you know, or big crowds, or it potentially is a good opportunity if you're miserable, which is why when like, you know, I don't want to call people out, but like, or say talk out of turn for other people, but, you know, when guys like Leo Rush pop up and then kind of pop out and people are like, oh, what's he doing? He's got all these opportunities. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't happy with these places where he was. And that's yeah. super important. But like, I don't care how many eyes are on you. If you're miserable doing it, why are you doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would bring me to another question then. Cause you know, I'm a New York guy but I'm, you know, downstate, and then we get like one or two, you know, different companies running. But like my brother went to school in Ithaca, and when we were in the summer, we were at Niagara Falls. And so like, what's the wrestling like now in like the Northwest of New York? Like, what's the scene like? Is it thriving, or is it just like one-offs? What is it like up there at this point?
It's okay. I think it's getting better. It's been bad for a long time. It's been bad, especially in my area. There's only been one place really running, just one guy who doesn't, you know, and it's the school that I came out of. So I hate to, I guess, talk ill of it, but it doesn't seem like they cared about wrestling anymore. The guy cares about making money for himself. And it wasn't really, he didn't care about even booking wrestlers. You know, it was just whatever would put money in his pocket. And so me and some of the guys locally who have been around, like Cheech and Cloudy, are trying to change that in our area. We opened a school ourselves, Ground Zero, with Matic and Nick Ando, guys who are, you know, actively traveling and working and are trying to, you know, make things better in our Rochester area. In Buffalo, they have ESW, which runs crazy good shows and has packed houses and is a great time. But outside of that, upstate New York used to be really good. 2CW used to run in Syracuse and Watertown and Binghamton. Now Excite runs the Binghamton market, and they do pretty good shows, and they have pretty good houses, and they're building something. But outside of that, there's just a bunch of nonsense in upstate New York for the most part.
But it's funny you say that too, because I give my brother a little credit. He asked me a question to kind of jump on what you were mentioning about the different places. He said, if there are regional promotions that draw like 200, 300 a night, right, within driving distance, do you think that they should kind of team up and make like a territory style loop? Like, if you commit to the dates, then you could have a series of places you can go, advance a storyline, you know, work the same people. Would that ever be a viable business model, like in a place like in these like areas that don't have like the, you know, big names, but can get people into the building?
So in New York, probably not. New York's commission is very strict. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
So,
we talk about that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. In New York, in order to run a wrestling show, period, you have to have, you have to pay a doctor to be on site for the entirety of the show. You have to pay an ambulance to be on site for the entire show. And they've just added a paramedic to that, which is also, you know, not for nothing. These are things that, you know, are good to have. But they treat wrestling like it's MMA.
They should deregulate it. That's what they're trying to do here, at least.
A little bit. I don't want it to be completely deregulated, if I'm being honest with you. I think there's some regulations that it could use, but some that it could kind of be a little bit more lenient on. But yeah, no, it just, there's too much access to wrestling there. So to say, yeah, you make a loop in a certain stretch, I don't know, man. People can see it everywhere. People can see wrestling however they want to. I feel like people confuse more access to wrestling with wrestling being better. Because you hear people saying wrestling's booming all the time, and it's like, kind of. I just don't feel like I feel like there's more options to watch, but that share of the pie, there's more people getting shares of the pie, but the pie's not getting any bigger. The pie is the same size,
right?
You know, so I just don't know if a true territory system or like those kind of loops could really work nowadays.
Not with the internet. Not anymore.
Exactly, I don't think. Right? With the streaming and the access to everything, it's like you could. Are you really going to go? Because you used to be like, even when I was first coming up, you know, you had those matchups like the Colt Cabana CM Punk, right? Mm-hmm. They would take that on a tour and they would tour that match and they could have, you know, similar ish match in 10 cities and 10 different weekends. And people would book it because you wanted to have that match in your city so your fans could see it. Nowadays, you have that match one time in whatever city, mm-hmm. and most people who wanted to see it saw it.
And multiple times, yeah.
Right.
Or they could go access it anytime they want, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But back in the day, that's how guys got around, you know? Ricochet and Chuck Taylor. People wanted to book Ricochet and Chuck Taylor against each other on their show because it was a thing. Nowadays, you would just flip on, say, IWTV or Fight or whatever, and you'd see that match and you'd be like, oh, that was really good. But if it got booked in your town, are you gonna be like, I have to go see it? And then that puts extra pressure on those guys. Like, people talk about like, oh, Flair used to blah 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 with Steamboat, blah blah blah. Yeah, they could do the same. They could, I mean, I'm not saying they did, but they could in theory do the same match every night in six different cities, and nobody is the wiser. Nowadays, everybody is the wiser.
You can't even see that in the 80s in the WWF. Jagel might be able to attest to this, actually. If they were running Madison Square Garden, NACA Coliseum, Meadowlands within 3 weeks of each other, they couldn't book the same show in those three markets. They were too close to each other. You could see whichever one you wanted to see. I think they tried it once in the early 90s, and like none of the shows drew, but they're all the same thing. So.
Well, the Coliseum was notoriously, we didn't get, they were the bastard of the Madison Square Garden. So if you booked something in Nassau Coliseum in the early 90s, it was not the A squad. you were not getting, you got the Ultimate Warrior, but you didn't get anybody else. You know what I mean? Like that was kind of what it was back then. But that also, I had a question for you about that too. So, you know, you did WWE TV and now you're doing indies and you've been back and forth in a lot of places. Does the TV look still matter? Like, you know, does some indie guys go with it? Some go to the gym and get super good looking. Some don't. Like, you're in very good shape. Does it sway promoters or no? Is that like out the window now or is it still a thing?
I don't know. Yes. Yes. I mean, yes. End of the day, yes. It does matter how you look. There are exceptions to the rule, but we're playing a part, and that part is, you know, partly predicated on some kind of in shape. You can't just totally let it go. But I hate when guys are like, these guys are blah, blah, blah. Nowadays, they don't look like the wrestlers of my era. And it's like, guys, come on. Like, Arn Anderson looked like he, I don't know, during the week, you know, and a lot of those guys did, you know, sure. Once WWF came around with these bodybuilder types. Yeah. But I just hate these old timers who like reflect on wrestling like it was completely different in their day. And like, it's like, no. There was tons of guys who were in no shape back then. Even guys who got pushed pretty hard and got, you know, were pretty relevant. Didn't look like nothing. But nowadays you're like, wow, look at this guy. He looks like junk. It's like, okay, guys. Okay.
Well, did you get any shit like in when you were in on TV? Like, did you, when you first came in or no? Was that what they were looking for? Or were they saying to you, hey, you know, we want you to go to the gym, or what'd they say to you when you were at that size?
No. So I don't think they were looking for me at all. They happened upon me. And once they did, they realized that I was different than everything they had, and they ran with it. I was told, I was told specifically not to get bigger. I was told not, like, we were in Orlando for WrestleMania. I wore sleeves. I was trying to stay as white as possible. I was trying to fit the bill of what they wanted at the time. They didn't say nothing. Yeah, no, trust me. I asked them, I was like, hey, should I bulk up? Should I start getting bigger? And they were like, don't, no, we want this. We found this, and this is what we want.
That's what I say to my wife. Ironically, she's like, nope, I'm good with whatever this is.
Yep. This works. This I know. Don't mess with that.
So before I toss you over to Jayhawk, I don't want to take up all your time, but I'll probably come back to it. But give me one thing, one trend right now on the indies that you like. What's in your mind right now that you are looking at that you're like, oh, that's pretty fucking cool. I like that.
Oh, man. I don't know. A trend that I like.
Yeah, or even a talent. Who's like, what's on your radar right now that you're like, yeah, that's fucking cool. I like that.
Oh, dude, there's so much good talent out there. There really is. That being said, there's also probably double the amount of bad talent. but that makes good talent stand out, you know? Let me think. So it's no surprise Alec Price is probably top of the indie class of guys where, you know, you want that guy in your show. There's something about him that you can tell, you see it, you want that guy. TJ Crawford is another one who I like a ton. I don't know. I like, it's always weird. People are weird when they hear that, like, I like wrestlers. I like guys who can wrestle, wrestle. Like, one of my favorite wrestlers growing up was Dean Malenko. I wanted to be Dean Malenko when I was growing up. He was smaller, but he could do all the technical things in wrestling. And that's what made him able to hang with guys who were bigger than him. That's what I always thought. I thought Dean Malenko is small, but because he's so good at wrestling, it doesn't matter that he's small. So when I was coming up in wrestling, that's all I kept thinking. I just have to get good at wrestling, because then it doesn't matter that I'm smaller than everybody, because I'm good at wrestling. And I think that I still hold that a bit. And on the opposite hand of things that I don't like in wrestling, I don't like the deathmatch trend. I'll be honest with you. I love deathmatch wrestling. I love a good deathmatch, but I cannot stand that. I feel like all these shows that get press are like deathmatch, 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 deathmatch. And it's like, good golly. I hope that trend, flips soon.
Ghouls. People are ghouls, Colin. That's
I'm very afraid of glass, guys. Yeah, yeah. I'm not, like, tubes, panes of glass, all that really makes me, I'm holding one right now and it's sketching me out just talking about it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. That makes me, and I appreciate the guys who do it. Don't get me wrong. I love watching some of these guys do their thing at such a high level, and I respect it. But that's a trend that I hope kind of curves, because I believe a wrestling show, the best wrestling shows I've ever been to in my life, the best wrestling shows I've ever watched, have a perfect mixture of styles. They have a little bit of everything, something for everyone. And that's how I feel like wrestling should be. That's what I want to watch. I want to see everything. I want to watch death matches, but I want to see one of them, maybe two, if the show calls for it and needs it. But I also want to see high flyers. I want to see technical wrestlers. I want to see a tag team match. I want to see a women's match. I want to see a big time main event. I want that big main event feel, you know? So I want it all in my wrestling card. And I don't think that wrestling shows should be all one way anyway. Unless on special occasions.
So with you having a school now, I remember during Fresh Meat, you were very excited to see the kids debut at AIW. Are you excited for your crop of students to get out there and start doing stuff? Is that something you're looking forward to?
I am. Yeah. We actually just had our first show for our school, and we sold out the building, which is awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Not a giant building, but a sellout is a sellout, you know. But no, what we're doing at my school, I feel like, is a little bit different, because we invite guys from other schools to come around, and we want the whole area to get better together. You know, it's not us against the world. It's not, our guys are going to be better than these guys, and this guy is junk because he trains at this school. No, if they want to get better, we invite them to come, and if they come through our school, then I will look out for them. And on the opposite, because I am such an AIW guy and a long tenured AIW roster member, I look out for the AIW guys too. You know, I try to give them advice, and I try to help them in any way I can. I honestly, truly do believe that wrestling gets better if we all get better at it. So I'm not worried about my spot. I'm not worried about, these other guys getting better and taking my spot. I invite them to, let's all get better together. So then wrestling gets better as a whole, indie wrestling in general, wrestling in general.
Wrestling needs more people like you, man. That's I don't think there's many guys that'd be like that.
Yeah. It's getting away from the carniness and becoming more of a legitimate business structure and model, I think, but it's not there yet, but it's getting there. There's a lot more people, I think, who agree with you than used to. It used to be protect your spot at all costs. Now it's a lot more, let me give you advice and help you. But I think you have to clear out some of those older mentalities, I think, before you get there.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like that's happening. It is. It's happening everywhere, even at the top. I mean, when I was in WWE, it's crazy to think about the top of that locker room at the time, you know, because at the time, Taker was still active. Flair was still wrestling when I was there. Flair was still in the locker room. Shawn Michaels, Triple H. These guys were still active wrestlers, active members of the roster. And I can remember, you know, how that felt being in those locker rooms. And then I also remember, you know, I did some stuff with WWE in 2017, 2018, around that time, and feeling so much different about being in the locker room and feeling so much different about being around, and just a different vibe and a different feeling, because a lot of that old guard was gone. And not that that old guard was bad, that old guard was great, but there was just a different vibe, a different feel.
Jayhawk.
Okay, so when you were in WWE that first time around and you're in that locker room with all those guys, like, did any of those guys actively come up to you and try to give you advice?
I mean, the guys who I worked with, yeah, sure, definitely, would always try to, they understood that I was young and quite frankly scared. And, I remember Big Daddy V. This is going to be the third time we've mentioned him today, and good, because he was great. A gem. He was wonderful. He was wonderful to work with, wonderful to talk to, just a complete gem of a person. And after we wrestled, he sat me down and we talked for like a good little bit. And I remember he told me, he was like, I think that was my second match with WWE back then. I didn't know what I was doing. And he was like, see if you can get to one of these developmental places. See if they'll send you there. And I was like, that's good advice. And I tried, and they never sent me anywhere. But it still stuck with me that he was like, this is this would help you. You should pursue this. You know, he didn't have to. He could have just been like, hey, man, thanks for getting crushed by me. But he didn't. He was like, thought about how maybe I could get better.
How did you end up getting this gig at more than a one-off thing? You do the show in Rochester with Shelton Benjamin. I'm assuming you were just brought in for extra work that day, and all of a sudden you're on ECW almost every week. Like, how did that even come about?
Jayhawk, there's no way you haven't heard this story.
I probably have, but it's been a while.
He's trying to take notes. Help him out.
I'm hitting 20 years in August. I think my time's a little past.
He's a Hall of Fame referee. Help him out.
So I was not even booked for extra work that day. I was a 21-year-old kid just at home. I was at work, actually. I was at work at my 9-to-5 factory job that I was working, and Brody Lee called me, and I knew he was doing extra work at the arena that day. He calls me, so I like kind of duck into an aisle of the warehouse, and I was like, hey, what's up? He's like, what are you doing? I was like, working. It was like 1:30 p.m. on a whatever it was, Tuesday. And he's like, if you can get down to the Blue Cross Arena, you can probably wrestle on ECW tonight. And I go, done. And I literally just ran to my boss. I was like, hey, I have a big opportunity to wrestle. I'm leaving. And I just ran out the door and I just drove. My work was not even 5 minutes from the arena. So I just went, I drove straight to the arena in what I was wearing to work, which is like ripped jeans, boots, and like a hockey jersey. And I come up to the back door and Brody meets me there and he's got Jamie Noble, and Jamie Noble grabs me and he goes, you're my guy? I said, yes, sir. He goes, you swear to God you can work? I said, yes, sir. And he's like, all right. And he brings me in the building and he keeps bringing me to different rooms. And he's like, this is my guy for Shelton tonight. And between rooms, he keeps going, you swear to fucking God, man. You swear to fucking God you can work. I say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can work. So he's just bringing me to all these people, telling them that I'm the one wrestling Shelton. And I was like, deal, I guess. And then I had someone bring me my wrestling stuff because I didn't even have it. So I got in some like knee pads and wrestling shoes and shorts, and I wrestled around. I remember Corey Graves was there. He was one of the extras that day. Pepper Parks, wow. The Blade, he was one of the other extras. They just needed a smaller guy. All the guys were too big for Shelton to throw around like they wanted. I just don't think they anticipated that I would be as small as I was. But I remember when I got there, they had me get in the ring and wrestle around with the guys. And I got in there and I started wrestling with Corey Graves. And he was the one who told me, just keep selling. Just keep selling. When you think you're done selling, keep selling. And so I did. And then I did the thing with Shelton, and it was terrifying. And I got through the back curtain and Vince McMahon jumps out of his seat and rushes over to shake my hand. And I was like, okay. And he was like, great job. Great fucking job. And I was like, thank you. Thank you so much, sir. And then I proceed to go down the line shaking hands. And it's like a who's who of wrestling royalty. Like, you know, like Gerald Briscoe, Michael Hayes, Barry Windham, Mike Rotunda, like all these guys being like, great job. Great job. And me not knowing anything was just like, wow, they are very nice here. You know what I'm saying? I literally just thought, I don't know. That was great. That was cool, but whatever. And then I got to the end of the tunnel and Johnny Ace was there and he was like, come take a walk with me. And offered me a big bonus for the night and asked what I was doing next week. Wow. And hooked me up with the flight and hotel information. And I was like, I didn't even know what to say. I was like, I can't believe this. And then I remember I went to the extras locker room, which is, by the way, a broom closet at the Blue Cross Arena in Rochester, New York, which is where they had Brody and Corey Graves and Michael Tarver was another one of them.
Oh, wow.
There. Yep. And I walked in the room and everyone was like, yo, that was awesome. That was awesome. And Brody was like, what'd they say? And I just stood stone faced and I looked him in the eyes and I said, I think I just got a job. And he picks me up in the air and everyone was like, ah! Jumping up and down. And yeah. And I flew down the next week. I wrestled Big Daddy V. After I got done with that, same thing. Johnny Ace is like, we want to give you another bonus and bring you back next week. And it just kind of kept rolling that way.
Colin, I've never heard that story, so I don't give a fuck what anybody who's listening thinks. That story fucking rules. I'm sorry. I've never heard it. That story fucking rules.
I had to treat it like like I was taught as far as like doing like announcing. Like you have to act like it's somebody's first show. It's probably the first time somebody heard you do an interview.
Yeah, so. In Norway we're number two, Colin. The Norwegians might not have heard that story.
Well, I hope the Norwegians. I hope I did it justice because at this point, that's that story that I get asked every time I do a podcast. And at this point in my life, I've done hundreds and hundreds of them. So it's always like, do I got to tell it again? I'll do it. I'm going to do it. But, you know, there's a little bit of me that's going to be
like, I don't care. That story hit me up. I don't care. Yeah. That's right, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and, yeah. And I don't like doing that, especially knowing how many of those you've done. But I know somebody out there had not heard it. So.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I try to abridge it as best I can, so it's not like a 15 minute epic story. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I don't know.
All right, Colin. So let's get to the meat and potatoes of this. Who trained you?
Who trained me? No,
we're fucking with you, Colin.
Jayhawk, wait, go on. Give it to him.
No, I'm not asking that particular question.
Yeah.
I did want to ask, though, a guy I had a chance to talk with on a regular basis when I was getting started, and you've worked a few times with Danny Doering. What were your thoughts on Danny Doering?
Oh, Danny's one of my favorite people who I've ever known. When I got to WWE, because I was on the ECW brand, you know, once I first started getting on the road with some of those guys, the fact that I knew Danny gave me a little bit of whatever with people, you know, Danny must have reached out and hit some of those dudes up because they were like, oh, you're Danny's boy. So that like really, really helped me coming up because, yeah, I mean, I went to Danny Doering's wedding. Danny Doering's wedding was one of the craziest weddings I've ever been to in my life. Not to totally sidetrack onto just something that means nothing to wrestling.
Oh, go for it.
Danny Doering's wedding was epic. It was one of those like everyone goes down the aisle. Big Sal was the officiant. He was like, do you? Okay, let's go drink. It was like everyone getting down the aisle was way longer than the whole thing took. And then you get to like the appetizer part, the cocktail hour. And there is an ice sculpture of Danny Doering in wrestling gear doing the pose in the middle of the hors d'oeuvre spread. Then you sit down, there's dinner, and then they just like start dancing. But on the menu that was played out there, it said, you know, there was all the courses of the meals. It was very extravagant. It was an unbelievable wedding. But then at the bottom for dessert, it said dessert extravaganza. And we were like, I wonder what that means. Well, anyways, after food, they just started playing music. Everyone started dancing. We're drinking, whatever. And the guy's like, now time for the dessert extravaganza. And all of a sudden, like, you know, when you were in school and the gym has that divider wall.
Oh yeah.
So this place had a divider wall and we did not know it. Divider wall just starts opening. On the other side, there is like a chocolate waterfall, a cotton candy machine. I think fireworks went off. There's like cookies, cakes. It was the craziest thing I ever saw. Then I got a cotton candy in one hand, a drink in the other, and I'm on the dance floor. Danny Doering's wedding was an all-timer.
And it was mainly because Jayhawk wasn't invited.
Right. Well,
I didn't know Danny that well. I'm not upset I didn't get invited. I mean, I am upset I didn't get invited, but I'm not. Yeah, I'm not offended I didn't get invited.
I got to meet him and Roadkill at the Wrestling Universe in Commack, New York. They couldn't have been nicer. Two of the nicest guys. Great picture.
Dude, Danny's so cool. He's so cool. I love that he's still out there somewhat and doing things, and he's super influential to me in pretty much all ways of me coming up in wrestling.
Yeah, the first wrestler I ever interviewed back in 2002 with Danny Doering, he had a little independent show here. I got to get down to interview him, and I still got the tape someplace, I'm sure, but.
Wow. I remember when ECW closed, you know, there was these like kind of bootleg ECW shows that would pop up where someone would try to like book all this ECW talent to kind of whatever off of it. Well, there was one being put on at this speedway between Rochester and Buffalo. If you've ever driven from Rochester to Buffalo, just as you're almost to Buffalo, you can see this racetrack off the highway to the right hand side. Well, there was this basically bootleg ECW show that was advertising all this talent, Dreamer and the FBI and Doering and Roadkill and Balls Mahoney and all these dudes. And me and my buddies, me, Brody Lee, and a bunch of other of our friends were like, we have to go to this. We definitely have to go to this. So we drove out there early. We like camped out. We, you know, camped out, got there super early. And this show was, it was awesome. It was, you know, it was all these ECW guys just off of ECW, but we were seeing them on this racetrack on this random night. And it was starting to get dark as Danny Doring comes to the ring, and he gets in the ring and they're like trying to fire up the lights. But you know, those things take a second to like kind of charge up on a place that big. And he grabs the mic and he says, and Danny Doring says, "Let there be light." And he like puts his arms up and they do not come on. And then they start wrestling their match. And about halfway through, the lights pop on and he just turns and throws his arms up like, yep, still works. I still did it.
I love stories like that from places out of nowhere, just random shows that pop up. That is great.
Dude, it was awesome. Never forget it.
All right, Butters, I'm going to steal one of your normal questions since you didn't ask it. And this one, I think for Colin, we have to ask it. The worst ring name you've ever heard.
Worst ring name I've ever heard?
Yes. 20 years in the business, I know you've heard some bad ones.
Man, I'm sure I have. God, off the top of my head, I don't know.
Stinky the Homeless Guy rank?
I love Stinky the Homeless Guy. I wrestled Stinky the Homeless Guy in the first round of a Young Lions Cup tournament. And he was boys with the Super Smash Brothers. And he couldn't have been cooler. The Homeless Guy, I mean, that gimmick's, you know, it's like a cowboy at this point. You know, there's been plenty of them. But as far as Homeless Guy wrestlers go, Stinky the Homeless Guy, tops. He was so good. He was actually really, really good, for the record.
What about the ECW Zombie? That dude was covered in powder. Why did he like dirt around?
Dirt. It was dirt. He's a zombie.
He was gone by the time I got to ECW, but I did indie shows with him. I remember Brody was kind of tight with him. Not tight with him, but like knew him. So they were like cool together. But he would show up that way to indie shows, oh just in full zombie powder and makeup. Yeah.
Holy shit.
That question's gonna haunt me. I'm gonna wake up in the middle of the night and I'm gonna come up with something. There's something's gonna just jump in my head. I'm gonna be like, damn it, I should have said that.
Yeah, you got years and years of files in your head to think of somebody's shitty name.
Yeah, see, but here's where my memory is gonna fail you. Because those names probably don't involve me whatsoever. So so they are poof. Gone from my head. If they had something to do with me, I'd probably be like, oh yeah, I remember them.
Did you ever go by anything else besides your name?
No, I mean, other than Colin Olson when I was one of the Olson twins. Right. No, I never did. And I was Colin Delaney because I just thought, you know, for years I had seen random guys get on TV to do job matches and they would just use their real name. So I just thought that was going to be, I was like, oh, I'll just do that, you know? And then I did it. And then when I got invited back the next week, I remember, I think it was Lagana came up to me on Monday. He was one of the writers and he was like, hey, we're going to change your name. We don't know to what yet. And I said, okay, that's fine. Like, I don't care. What do I care? And then the next night, as I was getting ready to go out, he goes, okay, we're just going to call you Colin tonight. We're not going to use a last name because we'll figure out what we want the last name to be later. And I said, okay, that's fine. So I think in the Big Daddy V match, they literally just refer to me as Colin over and over again. They never say Delaney. And then I got back the next week and no one had mentioned anything to me. And so I was like, hey, what are we going to do about my name? And he goes, oh, we talked to Vince. He likes your name. He said it's a strong Irish name. We're just going to keep it. And I said, all right. Because in my head, I was like, oh, that's sick because they can't really own my real name.
Right.
Oh, that's amazing. You got a Vince stamp of approval on your name, a strong name. I love it.
Strong Irish name. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I know it's not like you know, you can't be, being a Vince McMahon guy is not a good thing to be in.
I can't erase history, Colin. He was still the fucking man back then. Like that'd never change ever in my head. He could be a piece of shit, but that was the thing.
Vince liked me. Like, that's why I got a job. That's why I got brought back. Like, to ultimately circle back to the earlier question of how did I get a job out of that one-time thing? What happened was, apparently, allegedly, in the headset during my match with Shelton Benjamin, Vince McMahon is yelling to people, who is this fucking kid? That's how you sell. That's how you fucking do it. Who is this fucking kid? We got to sign this kid. So that's what everyone's hearing in their headset while I'm wrestling Shelton Benjamin, which is totally unbeknownst to me. I didn't find that out until months later. Wow. So he was the one who wanted me, who thought that I, you know, saw me and thought we could do something with this. So I was, I guess, a Vince McMahon guy, which is not, you know what I'm saying?
Listen. In 2008, that was fine. 24.
Yeah, I don't hold it against you. Come on. It is what it is. Listen, you can't just erase, you know, history. It was a good thing for you. It made your career. What am I going to do? Be like, I can't talk about it. No, I think it's awesome. That's crazy. Yeah,
and I had good interactions with him, you know, most times dealing with him, talking to him.
Awesome.
So you kind of talked about it earlier with the deal that was made in a bar to bring you to AIW. Would you say that you were a Chandler Biggins guy?
Man, so first time coming in, I was a nobody guy. This deal was made without me. But then, I think I quickly became just both. I loved both of those guys pretty quick, pretty early. Also, the match they pitched, by the way, was not even the match that happened, because when we showed up, Jimmy was like, oh, wait, this is a legitimate wrestling promotion. Maybe we should do what we do well. Because they pitched that it would be Jimmy and Dalton forming a new team that they were going to call the Deli Boys. No idea why. No idea what the reference was, against me and my actual brother, Ed, which they called the Delaney Faces. And then, we got there and we're like, oh, we should probably do the match that we're most comfortable with, which is me and Jimmy teaming against Dalton and Ed, who were already had a little bit of tag team experience too.
I didn't know your brother wrestled. I had no idea. That's what is he still doing it or no?
No, but on Cage Match, it's wrong because it says it's Dalton Castle and Bobby Fish, I think, is what it says. I think Cage Match says it's me and Jimmy wrestled the Banana Brigade, which is correct. But then Banana Brigade was Dalton, my brother Ed, Bobby Fish, Bobby Shields, and Glenn Spector were like a crew. And I think Cage Match says that it's Fish.
That makes sense. They screw up all the time with that.
Ed. But yeah, it was my brother Ed, my actual brother Ed. He did it. Ask John Thorne, big Ed Delaney fan.
That's awesome.
Well,
can we get a Chandler Biggins story out of you?
Yeah, Patty listens to our podcast every week, and she asked me if we could get a Biggins story from you.
And one that Patty can hear? I'm just kidding.
She hears a lot of shit.
Patty listens to our show. There are nothing.
Oh, yeah, there's, she has to be explained things sometimes.
If she could sit through an hour and change of this garbage every week, Colin, you could say whatever you want. Trust me.
The best part about Biggins was that he didn't drink, you know, but he would always go to all the after parties and just have laughs at probably our expense. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all being messes and having a great time. And he's just sober, drinking like a lemonade or a Sprite, just enjoying the debauchery of it all. I can think of so many times of him it being like 3 a.m. and we're at one of the hotel rooms of whoever. And he's just in the chair in the corner, arms crossed, drinking a Sprite or a lemonade or something, and just chuckling at our nonsense. He big fan of not being involved, but being involved. You know, like, he wasn't getting in any trouble, but he was all up in the trouble and would love to encourage the trouble.
Yes, instigate it all.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, tons of times. There's a great picture. I actually don't have the one picture that I can think of that I have, with Biggins was at Thorne used to have a big 4th of July party. And so I went to this 4th of July party, and there was this game. When you got there, they'd give you a dart and you'd throw it at the wall of all balloons, and the balloon you popped, what was written inside of it, you had to do. And my paper said Trust Fall Biggins. So I popped the balloon, I read the thing, I walked over and I just crossed my arms and took a dive into him in the chair. And there's a picture of me just in trust fall position on Biggins' lap at that party.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that he had to fall into your arms.
No. It just said trust fall Biggins. So I just walked over, crossed my arms and fell backwards. And he was in a chair. He was like, what the fuck?
All right, I got one more for you. I asked everybody. It's Mike Cloaker. With you being familiar with the message board, I'm sure you're familiar with the Wrestling Fleet Lift. I know Pod Van Dam probably did this one with you as well, but we do it a little differently, though. We have you pick a number between 1 and 460, and we go over that particular one.
Okay. 86.
86.
Let's do it.
Not 186, 86. There we go. Ricky Morton was well known for hitting the no candy before interview, hence the rapid-fire, unintelligible promo he gave. Word is he took a severe toot before going to sign autographs at an indie show. While signing an autograph for a kid, he sneezed and went, God damn it, there went $500.
Are we debating whether or not this happened? Because that definitely happened. No, that was, no. Does anyone question whether or not that happened?
No, we're no, Ricky Morton.
We don't know. We're asking you.
And I met Ricky Morton once, and it was fairly recently, but he seemed out there, so it wouldn't shock me.
I did a loop of shows down south. I don't know. This is probably, I don't know, 7-8 years ago now, give or take. And we wrestled on a show in Mississippi, but it was not far from Memphis. And Chase Stevens was on the show. I don't know if any of you guys have ever met Chase Stevens, but he is a wild individual. So Chase Stevens, we go out with Chase Stevens on Beale Street in Memphis until the early hours of the morning. He's literally getting us into bars without paying a cover by showing them pictures on his cell phone of mine and his action figures. That's a true story. So anyways, we wake up in a stupor the next day, and we have to be on the other side of Tennessee to do this show, and we are running super, super late because we hung out with Chase Stevens till the sun came up. We get to this show. It's already going. I feel like a complete bag of shit because I hate doing that. And I'd never worked for the guy before. I apologize a million times. And we get into the locker room and the Rock and Roll Express are there. And Ricky Morton was like, oh, look at these guys, big time superstars coming in after the show already started, blah, 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 kind of giving us shit. And I said to him with all honesty, with all sincerity, yeah, we partied with Chase Stevens in Memphis last night. And he goes, oh, you guys are good. Go sit down. go relax. Like, he knew what that meant. He was like, oh, God bless you. You're somehow still alive. Go sit down. You're fine. But yes, to answer whether or not 86 on the sleaze happened, for sure. No questions.
Now wait, before we go to voicemails, I have one more question for you. I wanted to ask, because you know you're very generous doing, you know, podcasts in the past. You know, I've heard you do your cult podcast, and I don't. And again, we made you tell the story, but I don't want to have you tell too many stories you've already told. But you know, you're running like ECW, like it like coincided with such a time in like my wrestling fanhood. ECW meant a lot to me, not the WWE version, but you know, I was at Lost Battalion and, you know, I bought a t-shirt from Sandman in the parking lot. And I heard like the pops from the crowds and, you know, it was like surreal in those days. And you've been around now 20 years, you've seen a lot. Anything like anything nowadays gets there to you? Do you see any third party indie companies or not WWE, AEW that, you know, kind of gets that sort of buzz? And like, do you kind of like chase that kind of sound and that buzz, or do you think it's just not there anymore?
No, it's there. it's different. Once again, that comes down to the access to it. There's a lot of access to it, which kind of waters it all down. People don't have to go, like, you had to go find that, you know, you had to go get that from being there. You could watch it on TV, but it's not the same. You right. know, you wanted to go to those ECW shows because you wanted to be in that. You know, I went to the very first Ring of Honor show. Me and Brody and a couple of our friends drove from Rochester to Philly. This is before I even started training to wrestle, to go to the first Ring of Honor show, because we were kind of chasing that ECW feel and high. And I guess you could say GCW does it to a degree. You know, they've got a bit of that on them. You see some of the stuff they do, and you see some of the stuff they put out, and they've got a very loyal, rabid fan base, but they just, to a degree, are the ones getting the attention, the most attention, you know, like AIW gets those big, the big roars and the big pops and the big crowd reactions that you feel, that, you know, you're in the locker room and you feel it. Yeah. And then on the other half, I was talking about it with someone recently. There's places all over the country that draw crazy good crowds, but they don't stream anywhere and you don't see it, but the people, but they'll draw like 700 people on a Saturday in West Virginia, and just those people are going nuts for this stuff. But it's a subsect of wrestling that exists that it's just not seen in an era where you can see everything. There really are places that just aren't seen, but still get big crowds and cool pops. And you know, wrestling is all a little bit what you make of it and what you want to get out of it. And some of these places, that's just fine.
Yeah. Butters?
I think it's time for voicemails. We got a couple real quick, and then we'll get you out of here.
Have you vetted these?
Yes. Yes, I listened to all of them.
Okay, great.
He's the only one. Jay Gold and I have no clue what's coming. So
yeah, I can't use anything on my work computer. So every time I pop on, it's like something new to me.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
You ever call me that ever again, I'll kill you.
Okay, up first is the EVP of Health at AIW, Jeremy.
Hi, the Indie Wrestling Guy. This is Jeremy, EVP of Health. I have some questions for Colin Delaney. First question is, who on the current, of the young guys on the current roster, do you see as having the potential to make it to the next level, whether that's AEW or WWE? Second question is, you can give me your top three Walt Disney World rides and your favorite nighttime entertainment show at Walt Disney World. Thank you.
Okay. Man. Okay, so person who has the chance to make it to the next level. There's a bunch, honestly. There really is. The easy answer is Bishop, of course, because he's got the size and the ability to go with it. And Wes Barkley, there's something about him that you couldn't teach in a wrestling school. You know, he's got this presence about him and this charisma that you really, you can teach it. So those are, I guess they're not really young AIW guys now, but they're still young guys to me, and they still have plenty of opportunity to break through. Eric Taylor is the golden child right now. And as he should be, I mean, I tell Thorne a lot that he does a lot for AIW's 18 to 25 female demographic, you know, but he's also super talented and he works super hard. And on the low, Chuck Stone, crazy talented, just the unsuspecting crazy talented dude. When you're like, what? He can do what? Look at him go. Really, really good. And then rides at Disney World. So the Guardians of the Galaxy ride is number one. That ride's nuts if you've never rode it. It's so good. There's different songs that play. It's really, really great. After that, Flight of Passage at Animal Kingdom is a crazy experience if you've never done it. And even if you had done it every time, it's super cool. And then a third Disney World ride. I don't know. I rode the Tron coaster, last year. It's okay. It didn't blow me away or anything.
Oh, it's just okay. It doesn't go upside down.
Does not go upside down.
Oh, well,
it's pretty so-so. I mean, it's good, but it's not, there's like a big weight to do it. And it's like, am I really gonna, I don't know what a third would be. I definitely, Guardians is definitely number one and Flight of Passage is number two. I'm not a big Star Wars guy, so none of those rides really do it for me.
No Avatar?
That's the Flight of Passage.
That's Flight of Passage. Okay.
Yep. Flight of Passage. That one's cool. But yeah, after that, I mean, then it's probably a neck and neck race between things like the Dwarf Mine Ride and Thunder Mountain and Splash Mountain and all those ones, which are all pretty on par with one another. And then nighttime thing, I don't know. Me and my wife are big Epcot people. So the Epcot nighttime show is great because usually by the time we get to it, we've already drank around the world. So we are perfectly in a place to enjoy lights and fireworks.
All right. Up next is our buddy from Dallas, Zach.
Hey, the indie wrestling guy, Zach here. Question for y'all for all this week. I'm thinking about GCW lately, and I think they have obviously a large reach in indie wrestling. Do you think in say like 20, 30 years that people will look back at GCW similar to how they look back at ECW? So that's my question for y'all. I'm going to go with no. Times change, but love to know what y'all think. Take care. Bye, everyone.
I think you're correct. I think the answer is no. ECW is ECW. Nothing will ever be the same thing again.
I'm not so much now, but I think GCW for a while was trying too hard to be ECW, and I think that's going to hurt it being seen in that same way down the line, honestly.
I don't know. I never, ever, and that's, you know, Jayhawk, you and I are the same in the same era, but like, I never, ever, after ECW was gone, ever found another product that did what that did, and I think it came along at the right time. You know, 2 o'clock in the morning on MSG Network, the feel of like how it really was outlaw-y and like different and the alternative. And I just don't think that you can capture that feeling ever again, as Colin and Butters have said tonight, with the internet and the streaming. It's just impossible. It's impossible to capture trying to find or stay awake from your parents and put on a show that, you know, they might not be awake or let you watch and like talk about it and try to figure it out. Like, it's just gone. It's gone. I mean, if even to 2019, the collective weekend, WrestleMania weekend, when it was one night WrestleMania, the vibe of the collective was unlike anything I've ever seen. And now that's gone. There's just too much. You can't bring it back as much as people want to. I just don't think the vibes of certain like things that are once in a lifetime can ever come back. I just don't see it.
The closest I've ever seen since ECW went out was the first couple of years of ROH.
Yeah, ROH, right. But that
and they got to a point where they were too big to kind of keep that same feel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was going to say, too. The closest thing I remember was early Ring of Honor. And like I just said, I'm pretty sure we went to those shows because we were kind of chasing that ECW feel. But that being said, so it's such a loaded question to a degree. Because nothing's going to, you know, as we've all said, nothing's going to achieve that ECW feel. But that being said, GCW, depending on where they go and what direction they move, they have a chance to obtain a similar feel all their own. Sure. You know, while nobody will ever achieve probably that ECW feel again, in 20 years, will we look back at GCW and say that it was influential in this era in a certain way that people reflect fondly on? Yes,
sure.
I think if I can boil that question down into a more legitimate way, yes, I think that there I think that in 20 years, people will talk about GCW similarly to the way we talk about ECW now. Yes. I'll say yes.
I, Colin, honestly, I hope not, because I don't think it's the same. I think that Hammerstein show hurt the brand, that what they ran. I don't know. It's
a tough question, man. It really is. And I think I'm saying yes, just because I think that if you boil the question down to its core, basically asking if people will in 20 years reflect fondly on GCW in a way like you had to be there. Mm-hmm. And I think that GCW has that. And I think they have an opportunity, you know, they're still doing their thing. So I don't know. I honestly haven't talked to them or Brett or anybody about what direction they plan to take. And it seems like he's just riding the wave, which is great. But yes, I'll say yes, but in my own caveated way.
All right, we got one more. Zach called back.
Hey, the indie wrestling guy. Zach here again real quick. Hey, just wanted to throw this out there. Can we stop putting W in our wrestling names? Like, can we stop naming wrestling organizations with the word wrestling in it? Like, it's probably redundant, and it's, like, super confusing because there's a million of them. So let me get your thought on that. All right, bye, everyone.
No,
Zach was like, they're going to crush my first question. I got to come back with another.
Defunct pro wrestling can only exist if we have the wrestling portion of it.
You have to. It's the business. It's not like you call anything minor league baseball minor league without the word baseball. It's wrestling. Right. You got to have wrestling in the name, don't you?
I mean, we can testify with Ring of Honor that it can work, but
it was Ring of Honor Wrestling, though. Everybody called it Ring of Honor Wrestling. It wasn't just Ring of Honor. Like, you still had to tell people it's wrestling, right? Like, that's what you run into.
Yes. If you remove the W, you then have to call your product whatever its initials are, followed by the word wrestling, whether you like it or not.
Right.
Yeah, like, realistically, TNA would not have gone into 95% of the building they were in if they didn't add wrestling to the end of it.
Total nonstop action wrestling right underneath it. Yes, TNA were initials. They had to add the wrestling caveat. Otherwise, yes, it would not work. It would just be a porno. You're right. It just wouldn't work.
So, yeah, the question's kind of whatever, because plenty of places have done it in theory. Yeah, Ring of Honor was just Ring of Honor, TNA, and plenty of places have done it over the years. And I think a lot of places try to, just because, you know, they're trying to be different. At this point, every three-letter acronym with a W in it has been a wrestling promotion, I'm sure. So I get the thought of it. But like you said in the onset, yeah, let's take the F out of NFL. Let's just call it
National League.
Yeah, like, why? Who would? What is that? It doesn't do anything for your. It's poor branding, is what that would be. Bad branding.
Yeah, all the different boxing titles have a B in it somewhere for boxing.
That's right.
You know what they are? I mean,
yes.
Don't get cute, all you promoters. Colin is telling you we're brainstorming here. Don't get cute. Leave the W, for fuck's sake. Stop it.
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, I mean, sure, go for it. But you're kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face. You know, you're
exactly. Well, shit, this has been fun, Colin. We're at the plugs part of the show, and we appreciate you coming on. So go ahead and do whatever you want to plug. Whatever you want to plug. Any dates coming up? Anything? Your school? Whatever you want to do.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't really have a whole lot of plugs. I mean, follow me on the socials. But if you're listening to this and you saw the thing, you probably already follow me on some kind of social. It's at Extremely Cute on Twitter. I got on that Twitter game early, so I nabbed a sick screen name or a sick username like at Extremely Cute. Sorry, X. I'll never call it X. Let's be frank about it. It's Twitter. On Instagram, I'm at Extremely Colin. By the way, the very first tweet from the WWE Twitter account was about me.
Oh shit. True story. There's a trivia. Oh,
wow.
Bang. Nailed it. It's I think it's about Mark Henry beating me on ECW. That's the first thing they ever tweeted from their Twitter account. Bizarre.
It just said, look at this fucking guy. And that was the first tweet they ever sent out.
Pretty much. That's the first tweet from their account. Period, paragraph. You can look it up. Other than that, so I'm this Friday, I'm wrestling at Excite Wrestling against Effie, GCW superstar Effie, first time ever. Nice. Following weekend, I'm wrestling, I will be at AIW on the 22nd. Yeah, 22nd, yeah. Right?
Hell yeah.
22nd.
Cool.
And then on the 24th, that Sunday, GCW is actually in my hometown of Rochester, New York. Me and Cheech will be taking on the Rich and Powerful on GCW.
Who's that? Is that Richard Holiday?
Richard Holiday and Charles Mason.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
you're like one of those people. You're like one of the people, Jay Gultz.
Yeah, yeah.
Danhausen's going to be there. We know all about it. Danhausen's going to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I wrestled Richard Holiday one time. Singles, and he is incredible. So I'm very excited to work with him again. And then it's Mania Week after, pretty soon after that, Mania Week. I got some Mania Week stuff. I'll be down there all week. I'll be signing at WrestleCon.
You're doing 880, the 880 show. Yep.
Yep. I'm doing the MV Young show, which is at an ungodly hour on a Thursday. I have another show that morning, Sean Henderson's show. It's called Euphoria. It's at a brewery. I wish I had this information better on me, but you can find it all on my socials.
Yeah. That's great.
On my socials. So at Extremely Cute on Twitter, at Extremely Colin on Instagram. My school is Ground Zero Wrestling. So please check it out. We do tapings every month with local students from the Buffalo, Syracuse, Rochester, Binghamton area. And we produce it and we do commentary and just to give them some footage to put out to try and help them get bookings. We try to put stuff out for the school all the time, trying to get new eyes on it, new people coming through. And like I said, just kind of grow the area and all grow together.
Right on.
Outstanding. Jayhawk, you got your plugs?
Yeah, you follow me on Twitter, Twitch, and TikTok, at least for a couple more days, at RefJayhawk, Instagram at Jayhawk1539. My next booking will be March the 23rd, Real Action Pro Wrestling presenting the Eli Thomas Memorial Tag Team Tournament at the Ohio Urban Renaissance Center in Youngstown, Ohio. I'll be in Philadelphia for WrestleMania weekend. I'm not working. I'm taking my kid. We're doing a father-son bonding trip, but I'll be around. So if you do see me, say hi. I'll sign autograph, take pictures, whatever you want to do within reason.
He charges the same amount Virgil used to charge.
Oh, shit.
Virtually could say he would get WrestleMania or however many it was. I can't. I don't have that. So.
I know. After this year, you could say you've been at one.
Yeah.
In the crowd. I don't have anything. I don't have anything normal. So some stuff happened at Enjoy. We didn't really cover it on the earlier portion of this. Some things might be changing with our IW Guy title match at 880 April 26th. That'll be announced later on, probably closer to the date. You'll know who's in the match fully, what we got going on with that. You can follow me on Twitter at Charlie_Butters. That's all I got.
Okay. And once again, I'm thanking Colin for coming on. We seriously, great time tonight. Please rate, review. Oh, you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at JGold12. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to us and our Twitter handle, IWGuide1, the YouTube page, patreon.com/IWGuide. Don't forget about the merch store over at Brainbuster Tees and our buddy over at Gorilla Press Apparel, Will. Listen to our podcast friends at Odds with Wrestling. The card is going to change. The Super Fantastic Podcast, Short Bus Social Club, Marks with Mikes, and maybe Hayabusa. Ed has given us all different reasons why he's not been doing them. Check out JCP Designs, the official graphic designer of the Indie Wrestling Guide, pwponderings.com, Toy Capsule Toys, Time Capsule Toys, Toy Hio, Rubber City Toys, Big Starks Brand, Set Tab Photo, Watch Women's Wrestling Watch of Northeast Ohio,
there you go.
Michelle Carter, Jose Rodriguez Photography, AJ Small Photography, Stash Pages, Gorilla Press Apparel, Angry Lemonade, and Smoking Jay's Barbecue, the best barbecue in Ohio. That's all I got for the night,
woo!
Butters.
Oh, you need some medical advice?
Yes.
Just so you know, pee is stored in the balls. So.
Fantastic. Fuck. Watch independent wrestling.
Later, everybody.
Later, dweebs. I got codeine in my cup.
bitch, you ass, I'm sippin'. Groupies fallin' up, I'm like, bitch, you must be trippin'. I'm just tryna fuck, and she just needs tuition. While you tryna stunt, you need to play your own position. Never gave a fuck, and nothing about me changed. Still roll up them blunts, got diamonds in my chain. Yeah, you heard me, I got diamonds in my chain. And it don't make a difference if you crying in the rain. 200 shows, I'ma kill more. I just sold out that Fillmore. Got a million, make a mil more. The number one spot on the billboard. Yeah, people lie, numbers won't keep me high. Drugs is close, growing up, cold cut. Watch the world go up in smoke. I like my music real loud, real loud. Can you turn that shit up for me right now, right now? Here it come, there it go. Ask your homies, ask your hoes. If you didn't, now you know. Never keep your pockets low. I like my music real loud. Shit up for me right now, right now. Here she come, there she go. Never chasing after hoes. If you did, now you know. Never keep your pockets low. I'ma get that Grammy soon. Fuck your magazine. Jordan gonna hand me shoes. Still fuck your magazine. Had my team in that pack with me. Got a germ beat banging in the glass lane. When I went to every high school class, I be trying to fuck the female faculty. I'm a crazy little fucker. Think my head done ran away. I experiment with drugs, but I won't never fuck with. I just made $1 million, still I think I'm underpaid. Fuck with me, kid, no way. When you meet me, better stand up straight. Pump out raps, yeah, I got raps. Trying to talk shit, better think about that. For the pesos, getting bankroll, I'ma lay low, chill. Didn't let that stack, people lie, numbers won't keep me high. Drugs is close, throwing up, cold cup. Watch the world go up.